that story on the BBC News website. Now, let's hear about something which happened 100 years ago today but had a very long-reaching effect. British feminist Emily Davison walked onto a race course, threw herself in front of the King's Horse at the Epsom Derby in the UK, and became a martyr to the suffragette cause. Another suffragette, Mary Richardson, was with her, and here she is talking to the BBC in 1961 about what happened.
I was standing just nearby selling the newspaper, and I saw it happen. I don't know if she simply darted under the rails at Tattenham Corner, got to the King's Horse and brought it on her knees, and the next I saw she was lying in the middle of the course and people rushing out at her, tearing off her clothes. The police rescued her. Then a man came and bashed me in the face very sweetly and charmingly, and then I ran for all I was worth across the Downs and got trained back to Waterloo.
Well, how far have we come in the past century when it comes to rights for women? Just a short while ago, I spoke to Dr. Helen Pankhurst, a descendant of two famous suffragettes, and also to Iman al-Nafjan, a women's rights activist in Saudi Arabia, who first told me what the situation is like in her country.
Within the past 3 years, there have been substantial changes, but on the world scale, it's pretty bad. We have the guardianship system where every woman is assigned to a man. She needs his permission to travel for basically everything. And of course, women can't drive. They're not allowed to. But at the same time, we have 30 women appointed to the Shura Council. And in the upcoming municipal elections, we will have women being allowed to vote and get nominated.
Well, let's bring in Helen Pankhurst now, the granddaughter of Sylvia and great-granddaughter of Emmeline Pankhurst. When Emily Davison made that dramatic, violent gesture, really, of jumping in front of the King's Horse, which eventually cost her life, did it make an impact?
Yes, it did. It made a big difference because it was a single moment that was at a very, very important annual social event, the Derby, which was attended by more than 300,000 people. More importantly, pivotally, it was on the screen of the TV newsreels. So it was captured and therefore had this great effect because it was such a key moment. It was a single act. It was so vivid and so violent and such a quick scene that I think it was seared in the collective memory as a symbolic of all the other sacrifices that women went through, that the suffragettes in particular went through in order to get the vote.
Do you think, Iman, that something as violent, really, as that gesture would have an impact in Saudi Arabia?
Over here, I know it might sound tame, but, you know, just getting behind the wheel is very controversial. It could happen that if a woman got behind a wheel, she could get attacked by fundamentalists.
I think the parallels are actually in society and the establishment's reaction to any small gesture of defiance. And, you know, the suffragettes went through years and years of low-level violence by, you know, the people trying to stop them from speaking. And then it ratcheted up. And as it ratcheted up, both the state became more violent towards them and they became more and more defiant.
Iman, how important is solidarity across nations between women? Because often when a campaigners campaign against against rights for women, somewhere like Afghanistan or in your country, they're dismissed as imperialist, as imposing Western values.
That is extremely frustrating. And I understand it when it comes from people from within our own culture. But the thing that upsets me is when apologists from outside the culture say that it's a cultural thing that women, you know, are treated this way and that we should be tolerant of this. Human rights are universal. There's no apology for it at all.
And also, automatically, whoever starts to stand up for their rights, however quietly they do so, however thoughtfully they do so, they're immediately branded as revolutionary and militant. By definition, you become labelled as militant.
Over here, it's more, you're labeled as frivolous. If you talk about women's rights, they'll talk about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. How can you even think about your own rights with the Palestinians suffering like they do? How can you even think about your own rights when our neighboring countries are going through the Arab Spring?
Helen, what about in Britain? Would you say that things have really improved, or is there further to go? And is the economic crisis putting a stop to the fight for equal rights for women?
I think we have to celebrate some of the achievements. We do have the vote. We do have the right to demonstrate peacefully. We have a voice. It's not ideal by any means, but there is a sense that overall, I think most people feel that there shouldn't be a distinction between men and women based purely on biology that allows men to dominate and women to be subservient. However, there is still a lot to be done in every single sphere. So politically, in the UK, we still don't have equal representation. And actually, that applies globally as well, because less than 1% of the world's population is governed by a democratic system in terms of a gender governance.
And Iman, can you tell us, for you in Saudi Arabia, what is the one change that you most desperately crave?
Ease of getting around. Transportation is a huge issue in Saudi Arabia, so that there's a tax for being a female and that you have to import a foreign man, get him accommodation, pay him a salary, everything, just so that he could drive you around.
I think one fundamental issue that's a global one is the spectrum from casual sexism and little put-downs through to the most extreme and horrific forms of violence against women.
For example, here in Saudi Arabia, within the education ministry, I mean, even in the curriculums, people are taught that women are by nature less than men. A huge concern, which is the reaction of the other side of extremism, people who are, for example, who want to ban the hijab. People who ban the hijab are actually pushing women in the other direction, in that they feel like they have to fight for their identity as Muslim women.
That was Iman Al-Nafjan on the line from Saudi Arabia, and Dr. Helen Pankhurst, who's written the foreword to a book newly published, March Women March. It's a collection of texts, letters...